then?
Ma'am, we've had Spotty Dick every day for over 3 months now.
That was an excerpt from 101 Dalmatians. Another in our series, A Film Worth Remembering, which is more than can be said for the next half hour.
However, for those who wish to pass time, why not hand round a clock among your friends? That, I'm afraid, will give you some idea of what to expect from a sort of radio show which is beyond our ken. Among those taking part are the Bernstein Spanish dancers from Granada. Kneel down and stand up. Lorelei Nantucket with her giant dwarfs. Sir Peter Out, Miss Lillian Lentil.
She's always in a suit.
To continue, Sir Acker Bolt. The Marshal of Welwyn Garden City. And, of course, Mr. Kenneth Horne, who prefers to remain anonymous. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenneth Horne.
Welcome once more to Beyond Our Ken. Well, as usual, we have a large studio audience in attendance. And looking around, I can honestly say I've never seen a happier, more intelligent-looking shower in all my life. They all got in here for nothing. And I'd like to assure them we're going to be well worth it. Well, now, let me tell you some of the things that have happened since we last met. On Monday, I tried to cook lunch for myself with some of the things left over from Sunday, but I'm afraid I made a bit of a hash of it. So instead, I had an omelette which tasted rather extraordinary, and later in the afternoon, when I went out to do a bit of gardening, the next-door neighbor asked me why I was wearing an omelette on my head. And he looked even more surprised when I told him I must have eaten my yellow beret for lunch. Wednesday, well, I went along to my local car showrooms and had a look at some of the new models. Very nice they were, too. Then I decided to look at some of the new cars. One of the salesmen told me they'd had a very good week and sold a record number of cars. And I asked him how they managed to do it, and he said,
It's really a matter of autosuggestion.
Friday, I popped round to the library and got my teeth into a good book. And although it was a bit of a job getting him out again, I must say I found the book very enthralling. It was one of those rattling, good old adventure stories about the Foreign Legion. Well, this one was about, well, I won't tell you because it's been adapted to radio for us. In it, I play a sort of dull role.
Ken, that's a dual role.
You wait till you hear it. Music, please, Paul.
We present Beau Jests, or Under Two Gags.
A beleaguered fort in the desert wastes of North Africa. Inside, a handful of men and one girl. The situation was desperate. Would they survive? What were they doing there? Why had these men joined the Legion? Who were they? What was their background? Why was the girl there? Where were the other soldiers? Why was the fort deserted?
And will there be enough time to do this sketch?
Over now to the beleaguered fort.
There's thousands of the devil, sir, and we are only five. You know what this means?
No.
We're outnumbered.
Keep firing, Corporal. All of you, we are not done for yet.
What are we going to do, Colonel?
I don't know yet. Perhaps one of us could get through to Major Bismuth to bring relief.
Look, sir, they turned tail. They're running away.
Perhaps they heard that one about Major Bismuth, you know.
Yes, they've gone, but they will be back. And pretty soon, too. In a half hour show, they'll have to be. But I will not surrender. Never. Not me. Not Colonel Marquis Raoul de Chateauroi. I am ruthless, brutal, known to the Legionnaires as the Butcher. And when I commanded the Camel Corps, oh, I was rotten to the core.
Well, now that's established his character all right, isn't it? So what about the rest of us, eh? Why are we here in the Foreign Legion? And what about you, Corporal? You've got your hat on back to front.
Oh, that's better. Lisa, well, you know me as Corporal Rake, but I'm really Digits Addison.
The arch thief?
Yes, I've stole some of the biggest arches in London.
And what about him, the brave one with the blue ribbon round his neck? Who are you?
I'm those, yes.
He looks more like Bo Peep.
Why are you a legionnaire?
Me? Like so many men, I joined the Legion to forget.
To forget what?
I've forgotten.
Ah, yes, then there is you. You, cigarette. The sweetheart of the Legion, a sort of Algerian Vera Lynn.
Yes, yes. I am the one known as Cigarette. I have the long, long black hair with the filter tip. Now I'm a friend to all the soldiers.
Yes, you're never alone with Cigarette.
Good heavens. Kenneth Williams. What are you doing in the Foreign Legion?
Haven't you seen that review of mine?
That leaves only you, Lieutenant Louis Victor.
Yes, alias Lord Berkeley Grain.
Oh. Tommy, he's English, like me.
He is not like you, Rick. He's made more progress. He is a nobleman. But I don't understand. Why is an English gentleman among us?
Well, there are two good reasons. One, I can't cope with this French accent, Clark. And, well, that's the other reason as well.
Yeah, there's many a true word spoken in Beaujolais. Well, that's a lot of it.
Not quite, no. There's one other. Look what I found hiding away in the powder room.
Oh, yeah. What were you doing in the powder room?
It is another girl.
Well, that evens things up a bit.
Sacre bleu, it's Jill Day. Well, now you're here, what can you do for us lonely legionnaires?
Sing?
A bon idea. Chantez, Jill.
They all laughed at Christopher Columbus when he said the world was round. They all laughed when Edison recorded sound. They all laughed at Wilbur and his brother when he said that man could fly. They told Marconi wireless was a phony. It's the same old cry. They laughed at me wanting you. Said I was reaching for the moon. But oh, you came through. Now they've got to change their tune. They all said we'd never get together. Baby, let's take a vow. And ho, 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 who's got the last laugh now? They laughed merrily, sniggered and chuckled and giggled with glee to think that you could care for me. Ho, ho, ha, ha, hmm, hee, hee. They laughed for all they were worth, sniggered and chuckled and giggled with mirth. Oh, yes, it's the funniest thing on earth. Ho, ho, ha, ha, hee, hee. They laughed at me wanting you. Said I was reaching for the moon. But, oh, you came through. Now they've got to change their tune. They all said we never would be happy. They laughed at us and how. But, ho, 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 who's got the last laugh? Ha, ha, ha.
Marshal. Bougest, can you see any sign of mouvement up there?
I think they're planning a coup d'etat.
Well, how can you be so sure?
I thought a coup d'etat.
Come down here this minute. Where is Corporal Reich?
He went for a scout outside.
Well, I hope you got him. Can't stand those silly pointed hats.
Why don't you find the tack? Is this waiting I can't stand? Do you hear? Is this terrible, terrible waiting? Oh, knowing that any moment. Maybe even right now they're creeping up on us. I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
Yes. Oh, yes. There is no need for that.
The colonel is right. Don't get so crossbow. Now, we ought to take this opportunity to get something to eat. Where's that cigarette that bears a lipstick's traces?
I'm here with food for all of you. And something special for you, Lord Berkeley Grange. Please, tell me about your home in England.
Oh, it's nothing much, really. I live in a flat over Euston.
Oh, I could always tell you were a man of high station. Have you not noticed anything about little cigarettes? Can't you see how I light up every time I see you? Oh, Berkeley. Could please I have something to remember you by?
Of course. Here, take this. It's a lock of my hair.
Are you sure you can spare it? Oh, one last kiss, monsieur. Put your arms around me.
Oh, there you are, cigarette. And with a different holder.
But, Colonel, you and I thought it was over.
No, chérie. I still love you. No. Oh, cigarette. No. I have tried to give you up, but it's still no use.
They're coming! The penguins! They're headed this way! Thirsting for blood and revenge!
Well, tell them we've only got tea and bangers left.
Why don't we do the sensible thing and run?
Sans retreat, never!
There's thousands of them out there.
Sans advance, backwards.
But it's madness to run. We'll be at the mercy of the desert. Nothing but sand. Sand, burning of sand. With the sun beating down.
Oh, don't you start again. Quickly now. Get your water bottles.
Yes, it does get a bit chilly at night.
Bougest, you get the camel.
Right. Here. Wait a minute. What ones are they?
They're the ones that look like cows upside down.
Come on, we have no time to lose.
How much farther must we go?
3 weeks and nothing but sand.
Well, we've got to eat something.
It's no use. I can't go on.
Oh, no, Sherry. Oh, please, darling. Get up.
No, cigarette. Is the aim.
No.
You must all go on without me.
No.
It's the only way. I am done for.
No.
Just leave me here. Oh. I am going.
Well, get on with it, hanging you out.
Come on, we must keep going.
I'm going!
Well, hurry up, then. We can't stand here all night.
He's gone.
Good.
We must go.
Oh, no, but don't you understand? We don't stand a chance. Our water's all gone.
Yes, you and your bath every day.
Come on, we must go on.
Water!
Look! There! An oasis!
No, it's a mirage!
Oh, it's no good! We're all done for! We must have water!
Wait! Wait there! figure coming across the sand dune.
Who on earth is it?
I think it's... Yes. It's the one man who can save us.
How?
You'll see.
Oh. Hello there.
Well, fancy seeing you in the desert sand.
So much for Beau Geste. And now we meet three beaux and a girl who add up to the Fraser Hayes Four.
My body lies over the ocean. My body lies over the sea. My body lies over the ocean. Oh, bring back my body to me. Bring back, oh, bring back my body to me, bring back, oh, bring back my body to me.
Oh, blow ye winds over the ocean, oh, blow ye winds over the sea, oh, blow ye winds over the ocean, and bring back my body to me.
Last night as I lay on my pillow, last night as I lay on my bed, last night as I lay on my pillow,
I dreamed that my body was dead. Bring back! Bring back! Bring back my body!
Documentary feature, Hornorama. Yes, once again, Kenneth Horne and his team of investigators bring you a factual report on topics of immediate interest. And this week, we present a close-up on our affluent society. Is this the golden age of prosperity?
And if so, does that make me the Horn of Plenty? Well, first of all, let's ask this gentleman, shall we? Now, how are things with you, sir?
Oh, flourishing.
Oh, it's you again.
Yes. I think I can safely say that life in the 60s offers an abundance of riches. Speaking for myself personally, I would say these are halcyon days.
You're very well off, then.
Oh, yes, exceedingly prosperous. I possess two fast cars, a luxuriously furnished detached house in the suburbs, six television sets, two washing machines, a spin dryer, radiogram with stereophonics. Summer residence in Sussex, and a fabulous house built on the Thames at Staines.
You believe in spending your money, then?
Oh, yes, I'm all for splashing it about a bit.
Lucky gentleman, obviously born with a silver spoon in his mouth, wasn't he? Well, now, here's another gentleman. Do you think, sir, that we have an affluent society?
Oh, definitely, yes. I mean, you take the street where I live. Well, every single home's got a television aerial. Except ours, that is. But it doesn't worry us. I put a notice on the gate saying, we've got a fridge.
Splendid. Now then, now here's a lady. Now, madam, how are you faring in this frantic race to keep up with the Joneses?
Oh, it doesn't worry us at all, you know. You see, we are
the Joneses.
Now we're privileged to meet a remarkable old gentleman. Good evening, sir.
Good evening to you. Thank you for asking.
Not at all. Delighted.
Thank you.
Well, now, sir.
Yes.
Do you think... do you think we've never had it so good?
I've never had it. My pension goes nowhere. By the time I've had a couple of drinks and a bit of a flutter on the Gee-Gees and taken my young lady out the evening, well, there's very little left over for the luxuries of life.
I must say, I'm sorry to see such a shabby human being in this modern day and age.
Yes, sir, life is very hard now, I'm afraid. I don't suppose you could see your way clear to let me have £35 and a cup of coffee.
How much?
£35.
For a cup of coffee?
Yeah, well, I was thinking of having it in the Ritz, you see.
A cup of coffee doesn't cost £35.
Well, I couldn't go in there dressed like this, could I? I've got to have the right clothes. The morning suit and the top hat.
Yes.
And all that,
yes.
You know.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh,
thank
yes.
you.
Thank you, sir.
We'll send it on.
Thank you.
Well, now, our affluent society, and even in this new era when life is measured by material possessions, there are those who have rebelled against such easy living, thrown it all up, and dedicated themselves to a simple, rugged existence on some faraway desert island.
Hello, Rodney. Hello, child. Fancy running into you. I thought I was the only man on the island. How long have you been here?
Oh, about 2 years. Whereabouts do you live?
I've got a little tree house around the other side. You must have seen it, the larch. And you?
I live in a rush hut. I put it up in a mad hut.
There you are, an old castaway wag. How do you get on for food?
I can't complain. Sat down to hedgehog last night.
So did I. Painful, isn't it? I'll not tell you, I saw a huge footprint in the sand.
Today?
No, I think it was Friday. You haven't run into any of those ferocious natives, have you?
Oh, good heavens, no. Have you?
No. A whole group of them. I ran like mad. Oh, dear, if you'd heard what they said.
What did they say, Ronald?
They pointed at me and said, look, one for the pot. Life's pretty tranquil around here, isn't it?
Yes.
Are you going to stay on this desert island?
Yes, I think so, Rodican. Except I simply must pop home soon and get some new supplies.
Oh, Charles, that's cheating.
I can't help it. I'm absolutely sick to death of these 8 gramophone records.
Finally, we turn to our panel of experts in Hornorama who are ready to discuss a random question on this week's topic. Top of the table, as usual, Malcolm Ditheridge.
Good evening.
Next, our lovable Irish playwright, Seamus O'Toole.
Long live Eamon Andrews!
Next, we welcome our special guest, the Honourable Diana Crichton-Gawsworthy.
Hell yeah.
And lastly, our rustic philosopher, Arthur Fallowby.
Life is like a great dirty barrel with the bung out. Every one of us...
Thank you very much. Well, now, that's our panel, and so to this week's question, which comes from...
Leslie Acatamole. Does the team feel that a stable monetary policy might curb the inflationary spiral in relation to productivity?
Oh, thank you, Leslie. Well, now, let's start with you, O'Toole.
I refuse to answer that question.
Why?
Oh, I don't know what the devil he's talking about.
Yes, well, I feel the questioner has a point there.
Yes, it's his head.
The whole fundamental concept of economic structure must be radically overhauled in order to come to grips with this complex fiscal anomaly.
Yes, I'd agree to that. Yes.
Why, you'd agree to anything by the looks of you.
Fallowfield, now then, can you come in on this?
Well, I think the answer lies in the soil. We don't bother with this economic muck on the farm. There's far too much to do. We country folk roll our sleeves up and just get down to it. And
down to what?
Hard work, my friend. Ah, good, honest toil. And when, like me, you've spent all day at the plough, you're too drunk to care. Up a bit. Nice plump calves and a good rail.
All right, all right. Well, we seem to be divided over this point, Miss Gorsworthy, but I'm afraid we must vote you a miss. There we end this week's discussion. There'll be another Hornorama next week when the subject will be queuing. Is it a custom of long standing? Also in next week's program, a well-known soap manufacturer will be discussing bubble cars. And the BBC Variety Orchestra will be playing the BBC Review Orchestra. So until next week at the same time, this is Kenneth Horne saying goodbye for now, leaving you with this thought which comes from a listener in Forest Hill. If you watered your grass with whiskey, would it come up half cut? You might have been listening to Award of Just Missed, Beyond Our Ken, a sort of recorded radio show in which you heard Kenneth Horne, not to mention Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddock, Betty Marsden, Bill Pertwee, Jill Day, the Fraser Hayes Four, and the BBC Variety Orchestra conducted by Paul Fennelly. Eric Medderman wrote the script, and the show is produced by Jakes Brown.